Hello and welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. A new show has made it from the West Coast to the East Coast that I want to tell you about. It's a one-woman play, Not That Jewish, written by a television writer, comedian, performer, Monica Piper. And it's her life story told in a very, very entertaining and hilarious way. You may know Monica. She's had her own Showtime special. She was named one of the top five female comedians in America. She wrote for Mad About You, Veronica's Closet, Rugrats, developed children's programming, even did voiceovers for animation. Monica, welcome to America Weekend.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
You became a comedy writer and comedian later, but you started out doing something else. What was that?
I was a high school English teacher. I had to leave teaching. Don't get me wrong, I love those kids, but I couldn't handle the money and prestige.
Where were you doing this?
Well, I started out in Yonkers doing teaching junior high, and then I moved to California, and I taught high school in East Palo Alto for 6 years. But I started doing improv at night in San Francisco with some really brilliant people. And we performed at the Holy City Zoo, which was a great comedy club in San Francisco. And that's when I started watching all the stand-ups and thinking, I think I could do this. But it wasn't until I moved to L.A. that I actually tried it. And I talk about it in the show. You'll see in the show we reenact my first audition at the Comedy Store.
I can imagine for you, though, getting back to that transition, going from a stable job to something that is, as many people would say, are you crazy to leave a job for this? What was that like? If you can bring me back to that period of time when you said, I think I'm going to do this and make it my career. What kind of things were going through your mind at this point?
Well, I knew as a teacher that even though I was tough, my reputation was it's really hard to get an A in her class, but you'll have a great time. I found that I was making them laugh a lot, and I said, well, hey, I'm doing 5 sets a day here in high school with hecklers. I think I'm ready. So, I continued teaching while I started performing at night. So I still had the paycheck coming in, but I saved up. I just saved. I saved money. I knew this was what I wanted to do. So I saved money and took the leap and just started doing it. But I was actually a waitress. I talk about this in the show, too. I was a singing waitress at a big restaurant in the Valley where all the waiters and waitresses and busboys and cashiers were entertainers, struggling, but they at least had a job while they were struggling, and they could continue to do what they love to do. So it's actually there, and I talk about this in the show, too, where I sat on top of the piano late at night for the late-night crowd, and I'd sing the blues, but I would start talking, and I would sneak in all the jokes that I'd written that day. And when I had enough, when I had a good 5 minutes, that's all you need to audition, I auditioned at the Comedy Store. But I was still a waitress while I was doing that. So, and it was great because I could literally work out my craft in the restaurant without a lot of judgmental people from the industry watching me. So I was really lucky. I mean, I had this kind of secret place to work out my jokes. And so that's what I did.
And now you have this piece called Not That Jewish, which is opening in New York at New World Stages. What does Not That Jewish actually mean, Monica?
Well, it means that I, like a lot of Jewish people, I I grew up more of a secular Jew than a practicing Jew. You know, it's one of the opening lines of the show that when I was growing up, we didn't belong to a temple. But on the high holy days, my mother would make us dress up and stand in front of the apartment building so it looked like we just got home from temple. she was working it too. Lovely service. Wasn't it lovely? And that's how the show begins. I mean, Not That Jewish is really it's an autobiographical ride of a Jewish woman's life. You know, I never felt the need to run the temple and be a very serious practicing Jew. I just, you know, I love chopped liver. I voted Democratic, and I would say things like, I'll be grading papers till Shavuos. That was kind of Jewish enough. But yet when I had a son, I really felt the need to pass it down, which actually surprised me a little, but it was very important to me that I raise a Jewish man. So I did what I could to do that. We joined a temple. He went to Hebrew school. He had a bar mitzvah. But then, shortly before his 18th birthday, he said something to me that rocked my world, that stopped me in my tracks, and it made me finally really explore what being Jewish meant. I can't tell you what he said, what he told me. You have to come to the show to hear what he told me. But it's an exploration of what it really means to be Jewish. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really proud of this piece. It's very funny, but it's also very moving. It's not just, you know, all the laughs. People, the hankies come out too.
They do. And of course, I've read it and I've seen a rehearsal of it. And an instrumental person in your life, Monica, was your dad, because he was a person who really wanted to do this for a living.
Yes. There is a thread throughout the show where we keep coming back to my father, who was the funniest, literally the funniest man I think I've ever met. And I've met a lot of funny people.
Of course.
You know, really a lot. But I think my father was truly the funniest man on the planet. He was just funny. I know in the months before my son's bar mitzvah, I said, Dad, this is getting insane. Every time I turn around, it's $1,000. He said, don't turn around. You know, that's my father. But so it's an exploration of my father being funny, passing that down to me, and me passing that down to my son, who's also very funny. And he's a thread. It's kind of like, even though I didn't go to temple growing up, the times that we did go, I was very aware of the eternal flame, you know. And I think the idea of the eternal flame is the idea of passing it down, the idea of another Jew creating another Jew so we keep on going, is what hits me during the course of the play. And my father's influence is so strong, and his influence on my son as well.
Mm-hmm. And continues, so, I'm sure.
And my mother, too. My mother was hilariously funny in her own way, very different from my father. My father's very shticky, you know, he's, you know, Mr. Showbiz. And my mother was more subtle, more sarcastic. Mm-hmm. But I get a lot of that from her, too. So,
listen, Monica, in the last seconds we have, I want to make it very clear that this play is not just for people who are Jewish. The themes are universal.
The themes are universal. It's not so much about being Jewish as about being human. You know, and through the course of the play, we see examples of humor, compassion, acceptance, good deeds, And if you have those qualities, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be Jewish to have those qualities. You know, we deal with real human issues, divorce, death of a family member, dealing with breast cancer, living with a teenager. There's something that touches everyone at least once or twice or three times during the course of this show.
And to find out more, what is the website?
NotThatJewish.com. It couldn't be easier. So
I want to wish you all the best with this run, and I hope it goes forever. It's very, very funny.
Thanks, Valerie.
I'm Valerie Smaldone, and this is the Envision Radio Network. America
Weekend. Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Would you like an easy trick which will guarantee that people listen to what you have to say? Not as tough as you think. Actually, it's a kind of all in the setup. Here's the science of it. When time is tight, people are usually anxious. They just don't have enough time to get everything done. We're naturally concerned when someone says, can I talk to you? There's a natural knee-jerk response, especially when you're under the gun, and it's, how much time will this take? To reduce this natural fear after you say, can I talk to you, immediately say, don't worry, I'll be brief.
Don't you listen to what the man says.
What's the cheap psych trick? This one little line, I'll be brief, reduces anxiety and increases the probability that people will listen to you. But remember, after you say, don't worry, I'll be brief, make sure you are, in fact, brief. Drop me a brief note. I'd love to hear from you. Send it to drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. One windy day when Bob was driving to work, a newspaper from the street blew across his car windshield, completely obscuring his vision. Unfortunately, he hit and injured a pedestrian. Obviously, the pedestrian sued Bob for his injuries, but Bob claims it wasn't his fault. He had no control over a flying sheet of newspaper. In court, who do you think won this case? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Even though the injured pedestrian had extensive medical bills, the court ruled this type of accident was unavoidable, and Bob was not at fault. And that's the final verdict.